Sigler Ministries, sharing the good news. Gary teaches practical lifestyles, with his main thrust being to reveal the Father heart of God toward humanity. May God richly bless you in your quest for a true spiritual life.
Still that rain, oh, that ray of light.
Today's program is entitled The Face of the Covering. And now, here's Gary.
I want to begin this morning with Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 7. And the Lord will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away all tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. The mountain here refers to a higher awareness or a higher consciousness than the human consciousness. To understand spiritual truth, we must be elevated above the human thinking. You know, these are the days I believe that Daniel spoke of when he said, "Many that sleep in the dust of the earth shall arise and shine as the stars from heaven." Today there are people on the earth who are beginning to rise above this human, natural, carnal thinking. Especially we need to rise above the religious thinking. So the scripture says that in this mountain, meaning when our consciousness is elevated to that state of spiritual thinking, that the covering or the face of the covering that's been cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations will be destroyed or removed. So the first thing to be removed is the face of the covering. What do we see when we look in the mirror? We see the face of what we call a flesh man, or the face of the covering that's been cast over all people. We look at ourselves as human beings, and that's what we see in the mirror. In reality, we are beautiful, spiritual, light beings. You remember in Genesis when it says the Lord God covered them with skins. That's what you're looking at when you look in the mirror. We see ourselves as natural human beings. And the understanding of most people who see themselves as human beings see themselves as something totally separate and different from what God is. And we know today that that is absolutely false, because we are spiritual light beings. And that's why Jesus said to his disciples, "Ye are the light of the world." So the first thing that is removed in this mountain, this awareness, this high consciousness, the first thing that is removed is the face of the covering, and we begin to realize that we are not what we see in the mirror. We were created in Genesis chapter 1, a glorious, beautiful, spiritual light being. And because of what is called the fall, we have lost that awareness and took on the awareness of being flesh. What actually happened is that we were slowed down in spirit and became dense in this physical realm. Whenever we see ourselves as less than what God has made us to be, we know that we still have the face of the covering over us. But thank God in these days we are beginning to realize that that is a false image. So the Lord will destroy the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. So the majority of people today, whether they're atheists or Christians or Buddhists or Hindus, almost all people today, when they look in the mirror, they see the face of the covering. They see what they consider a physical being and do not really have the concept of being one with God. Even many of those who have the doctrine of being one with God still, most of the time, feel that they are separated and alienated from God. And as long as you see yourself as simply a human being, then that veil is still over your eyes. It took men many hundreds of years to fall deeper and deeper and deeper into this human thinking of separation and alienation. In the beginning, when man first began to partake of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the lifespan at that time, we can see by scripture, was many hundreds of years. But the further man fell in his consciousness and awareness into this physical realm, the shorter his lifespan became. Man became so degraded in his consciousness and became so far alienated and separated in his mind from God that God had to raise up Moses and give to the people a law written on stone. I've often wondered why God gave them an outward law written on stone rather than having their eyes unveiled to the reality that everyone had the seed of God in them. Well, I realized that at that time, as I said, the consciousness had been so degraded and it had so fallen into this dense physical realm of fleshy carnal thinking that they could have never received the truth of their being until their consciousness evolved. Look at how man's consciousness has evolved even in just the last 100 years. So God sent Moses with the law written on stone. So for many years, man lived by an outward law rather than an inward reality. I realized one day, just by looking at the Ten Commandments, that they had to be written for a people who were very, very fleshy, carnal, and degraded in their thinking. Because who today would you have to tell that it is wrong not to kill? Do you need a law on your wall or written anywhere outside of you that would tell you that it was wrong to kill? Or do you need a law that would tell you that you should not covet your neighbor's wife? Or do you need a law on the outside of you that would tell you you need to honor your father and your mother? So I could see by just looking at some of these commandments that the people that was given the law in an outward way had to be so animalistic in their nature that they had to be told these things. And they had to be told these things because they had fallen totally into a life according to the knowledge of good and evil. The very tree that they were not supposed to partake of, the knowledge of good and evil, they had so fallen in their consciousness by partaking of good and evil that God established an outward law for them so that they could live by the tree of good and evil, but learn how to choose the good over the evil. God never gave the law with the expectation that man would be able to keep it. The law was given to make man realize his total inability to keep it. So when Jesus came, he came to remove the face of the covering and the veil that's been cast over all nations. He came, first of all, to reveal the true nature of our Father. By that time, the nation of Israel had lived so long under the knowledge of good and evil that they felt God was a God who was vindictive, who would measure out punishment, who would only bless you if you lived according to that law, because that's what the law said. The law said that if you keep my commandments and obey what I tell you to do, then you'll be blessed. But if you do not obey my commandments and do what I tell you to do, then you'll be cursed. If you do what I tell you, you have about 15 verses in the Old Testament of blessings. But if you don't do what I tell you to do, if you do not obey the law, then you have about 58 verses of cursing. So that was a perfect example of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Jesus came to reveal the true nature of his Father, and that's why he began to say things like, love your enemies, do good to them that despitefully use you, turn the other cheek. The sermon, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, is simply revealing the nature of one who has had the face of the covering removed and the veil removed, so that they know that they are a son of God. And the Sermon on the Mount reveals the life of one who is living as a son of God on the earth. I was told as a young Christian that Jesus just raised the standard of living on the Sermon on the Mount. But in reality, again, what he was revealing is the nature of one who has the veils removed and can see by reality that they are a son of God, and they begin to walk in what we call the reality of the kingdom. They begin to find a life rising on the inside of them that lives the Sermon on the Mount, that takes no account of a suffered wrong, that returns blessings for cursings, a life that seeks blessings for their enemies, a life that prays for their enemies, a life that knows no bounds or limitations, is not pulled down by the arm of flesh, but a life that is so abundant and so overflowing with love that that life becomes a river of living water that brings life wherever it flows. Almost any denomination you go into today, whether it be Baptist or Catholic or Pentecostal or Lutheran, wherever you go today, for the most part, what you are taught is an outward law. You're taught how you should live as a Christian. You're taught that you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't commit adultery, you shouldn't do all of these things. And it is no different. Well, I should say it's very little different from living under the old covenant law. What Christianity does is get you into the struggling of the flesh, trying to overcome all of these habits and what they call sin that's in your life. Actually, what they're doing is they're taking people who still think that they are a natural human being. They're trying to take the natural man and try to make him live like God on this earth. So because of this, God raised up the Apostle Paul, a man who was very much into the Judaism religion. God took this man, Paul, and taught him the true gospel, which was a gospel that was lived not by an outward law, but by an inward life. And so Paul begins to share in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, and this is the Amplified Version, "It is he who has qualified us, making us to be fit and worthy and sufficient as ministers and dispensers of a new covenant of salvation through Christ, not ministers of the letter of the legally written code, but of the Spirit. For the code of the law kills, but the Holy Spirit makes alive." Now, the law is what we do. That's old covenant. The new covenant is what he does in us. It has nothing to do with what we are able to do with this old carnal human thinking. Paul goes on to say that the law is the ministration of death. In other words, and I've said this so many times before, whenever you begin to live by an outward law, it is the ministration of death. The law was to actually kill you, to make you realize that the more you try to obey God from a human consciousness and do the things that are right and try not to choose the things that are wrong, as long as you are living from a consciousness of good and evil, the law does what it was designed to do, and that is to kill you, to make you realize that it is utterly impossible for one who thinks himself as a human being to live under a law of outward commandments. It is the ministration of death. So almost any place you go to today for religious teachings, whether it's Christian or otherwise, it's really the ministration of death. Because whenever anyone begins to teach you and to try to get you to conform to an outward law, trying to make your human living better, trying to gain favor with God, trying to live right and do right to get some kind of a reward, that veil is definitely over you. And you are still looking at yourself with the face of the covering of simply a human being. Perhaps you're trying the best you can do. Perhaps, like I did for many years, you seek God every day and cry and pray to be able to overcome. As long as you are living in that consciousness, you will never overcome. Oh, you might overcome a few things. You might be able to stop doing a few things, but you will never be able to live the life that Jesus lived while he was on this earth, as long as you're operating out of a human consciousness, living by an outward law that was simply written as a ministration of death. We all discover, as Paul did, and we all cry out, maybe not literally, but if you're really hungering for God and trying the best you can to live a Christian life, there will come a day when you will cry out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this bondage of death?" Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 3 and 13, "Nor do we act like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze upon the finish of the vanishing splendor which had been upon it. In fact, their minds were grown so hard and calloused, they had become dull and had lost the power of understanding. For until this present day, when the Old Testament or the Old Covenant is being read, that same veil lies on their hearts, not being lifted to reveal that in Christ it is made void and done away." So Paul said they had become dull and had lost the power of understanding. And even down to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies upon their minds and hearts. And that has been the experience of all humanity. They had lost their ability to understand spiritual truths. And so again, that's why Jesus came to reveal to us our true life and nature, to reveal to us the image of the man that God created in Genesis chapter 1, who totally manifests the life of God in this physical realm. Whenever Moses is read, or you might say whenever Moses is taught in our assemblies, in our churches, whenever you enter a place and Moses is taught, or the law is taught, wherever there's a teaching that is teaching you how to be like God, the veil is over your eyes, the veil is over your mind, and the veil is over your heart. We don't try to teach people how to be human beings, because most people realize, or at least they think, that they are human beings, and they live a natural, carnal, fleshy life without any instructions whatsoever. The same is true once the veil of the covering that's over your face, and once the veils are removed from your mind, it is natural for you to live a life of God on this earth It is not an effort to live a human life, a life of carnality, a life of the flesh. And neither is it difficult to live the life of God on this earth once those veils are being removed. Paul goes on to say that whenever the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veils shall be taken away. So whenever we turn our hearts to the Lord, and it's very important for us to know where the Lord is, and the Lord is in his holy temple. Ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So whenever you turn your heart, you begin to turn inwardly and begin to focus on the Spirit of the Lord within you, the veils are removed from your eyes. And you begin to experience the loveliness of his essence, the magnificence of his glory come alive on the inside of you. No longer do you live by the knowledge of good and evil, but you begin to live. The more you focus on the inward glory, the more you focus on the Lord within, the more you turn your heart to the Lord within, the more these veils will be taken away. And you will begin to live the most glorious life on this earth. No longer will you be waiting to go to some far off distant place called heaven, but heaven comes to earth. Jesus prayed, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." You are the earth that the kingdom is to come to, so that you can live a life that so far surpasses our human understanding, that we can have that peace of God that Jesus said was beyond human understanding. And we can begin to live such a life of peace and love on the earth that we will become a blessing to all of creation. Paul goes on to say that we all, with an unveiled face, beholding and reflecting the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory from the Spirit of the Lord. This is why it's so important to meditate on the words of Jesus and the life of Jesus, because he is our mirror. Whenever you look into him, whenever you meditate on his words, you are looking into the mirror and you are seeing your true nature and being. I don't think we can ever emphasize enough the power that looking into the mirror will bring to you, because Jesus is who you are. His life, his abilities, the magnificent expression of God that he is, you are also. And that's why he prayed that we all might be one, as he was in the Father, and he is in us, and we are in him. He prayed that we all might have the awareness, the consciousness of being one with our source, so that the world might believe that God had sent him. I want to remind you of something Jesus said in John chapter 16, beginning with verse 12. "I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." In the last 2,000 years, man's consciousness has continued to evolve, and the truth has continued to evolve. And that's why so many today who are locked in a religious mindset have so much trouble receiving some of the things that are coming to us today, because some of these truths are not coming from religion or from the typical Christian mindset. Because a lot of the truth that is coming today is coming to us through what Christianity classifies as New Age thought or New Thought. And what they don't realize is that God is coming through these avenues because the typical Christian mindset will not accept as truth that which God is revealing today. Now, I'm in no way endorsing the New Age movement, but what many are calling New Age are speakers like Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer, and many others who are bringing such a practical revelation of the source of all things and the knowledge of all things, and even quantum physics are beginning to share with us and show us that all things originate out of one source. No matter what you see physically manifested with your eyes are all a product from one source, and that source is God. There are many things today that are being revealed that it is almost impossible for the religious mind to grasp. We are entering a new age today, and it's no different than it was 2,000 years ago when John and Jesus came on the scene and began to speak things that were absolutely contrary to what the Jews believed. And that's one of the main reasons they crucified him, because he was saying things that was contrary to what the Jews had been taught for hundreds of years. So today we are learning some things that seemingly are contrary to what Christians have learned all of their lives. But man's consciousness has evolved to such a state that in these days more of the truth can be revealed and be understood with those who have an open heart and are seeking the truth of their being. You see, we have been taught for 2,000 years that we were sinners, that we were alienated from God, but the truth is that we have never been alienated from God. The truth is that we were created in Genesis chapter 1 in the exact likeness and image of God. And that has never changed. What has changed is our perception of ourselves by being lowered into this physical, dense realm. And that's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:34, "Awake to righteousness and sin not." Now, we have been taught the exact reverse. We have been taught that we are sinners and that we become righteous by what we do. But what Paul actually said here is, awake to righteousness and you will not sin. Once you realize the veils have been taken from your eyes and from your heart, you realize that you were created a perfect being in Genesis chapter 1, and that has never changed. What has changed is your perception of yourself by coming into this dense physical realm. The truth of our being is that we are glorious, wonderful, magnificent light beings that came into this realm to manifest that life of God to all of creation. So when we awake to the righteousness which we are, we no longer need to be led by an outward code or a law written on the outside of us. No longer do we need a preacher or a prophet to tell us what to do, but we have that living, guiding inner voice and inner knowing that guides and directs us until we come into the full knowledge of the truth of our being. And then this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. As we begin to be unveiled to the reality of our being, the life in us begins to swallow up all the death. No longer do we struggle and strive to be righteous, but we know that we are righteous. And the more we focus on the reality of our being, the more the Spirit of God is strengthened within us. And we begin to put on incorruption and put on immortality. Until, behold, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed, and we shall become that we were created to be, a glorious, light being, manifesting all that God is. This is our destiny. I want to share one more scripture with you, found in Ecclesiastes 3:14. I know that whatever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. What God did in the very beginning was create us in his likeness and image. And nothing can be taken from that, or nothing put to it. And that is why Paul said that we look not at the things which are seen, but we look at the things that are. The things which are seen are temporal. Everything that we see physically is temporal and will pass away. But that which is unseen, the eternal, that which God created us to be in the very beginning, can never pass away. So we look at the eternalness of our being. We look at the true spiritual nature of our being, and we focus on what we are in spirit. And as we focus on the true nature of our being, we are transformed daily from one degree of glory to another until we are fully transformed into the glorious manifestation of God on this earth. Hallelujah.
This concludes this message. For additional copies or more information, write Gary and Carol Sigler, 135 Chinquapin Drive, Brunswick, Georgia, 31523. Phone 912-275-8585 or email gary@sigler.org. All messages are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, however, you may distribute them freely.